Hey, hey, all you slashers and survivor girls. Welcome back to another episode of the Keeping It Real Horrorcast. I am that good buddy Lunchbox, just bringing it right on back to drop another review here for you guys. So I'm happy you guys are with me for this week, as you guys are for every week. So again, much appreciated. And if you guys are our first timers here, welcome. I always love seeing a new face here on the podcast. So for last week, I want to drop the biggest of the thank yous for you guys. Last week was my birthday week, and it was awesome. I had an incredible week. I was able to, take my family out to the beach and spend like a really good, just kind of get that good summer vacation vibes going. It had, a pretty dank margarita, which is pretty cool. And on top of that, I was able to actually do a podcast out in the ocean talking about my favorite film of all time. And not only was I just standing in the ocean, but I was standing in the ocean where it was like the shark bite capital of the world. So, that was a really, really cool feeling. So, but thank you guys so much for all the birthday wishes. And, we're going to be jumping right back on into the, any and all these reviews, that I tend to spew and ramble on, about, but real quick, and speaking of not last week's review, but my review for Jaws 3, I have to correct myself. So, as I mentioned in the episode, I was kind of tilting back and forth on the information, but for Joe Elves, the director of the film, I mentioned that he worked on like the sound or some shit in the episode, which is completely wrong. Joe Elves actually worked on the creation of Bruce the Shark. So he was one of the minds that helped bring that shark to life whenever it decided that it actually wanted to work. But I thought that was a really cool little note where it's like one of the guys that helped create the shark ended up becoming the director in one of the films. So even though that it was his only film, I was like, that's still, you know what? I think he did a pretty decent job. Now, I wanted to correct myself just because I, last night, was watching this new documentary on, it was being premiered through Shudder or Prime, so if you have that, you should be able to watch it, pretty easily. But it's called Sharksploitation, and it's all, it's a front-to-back history on everything shark movies, and it goes through the whole the hype of just that old ancient sea monster movies back from like the 20s, and then it just kind of just spawns into Jaws, and then just what happens when you get all these people that and companies and production teams that try to either recreate or rip off what Jaws did, and then it just gets into this like the whole sci-fi era where you get stuff like Sharknado or Sharktopus and all these weird fucking movies, and it is an incredible documentary. I was having a lot of fun watching it because there was a couple of times where I'm like, okay, I'll turn it off and I'll start it up later, and I was like, oh wait, I'm still watching it. It just kept me no matter what it was. So it was really cool to see a lot of the history and maybe things that went behind, behind a lot of those films. Highly recommend Sharksploitation through Shudder or Amazon Prime. So as I was finishing up my Sharksploitation movie, I wanted to try to get things going back again and just, get things back in the groove, for these movie reviews. And I wanted to jump back in with something that I've never seen before. And I was trying to scroll through, you know, Shudder and, you know, Amazon Prime and HBO Max, and I just couldn't really find anything that I was like really wanting to, you know, to review. And then I came across this movie that we're going to be talking about today, Malignant. And I hope I said that right. I feel like I did, but for some reason my brain and my tongue just don't want to work sometimes, but Malignant. And so this movie came out in 2021. So it's still really new. Yes, it's one of the, I think it's, there's a certain time frame when things shouldn't be talked about, you know, for spoiler, you know, it's like you don't want to ruin it for anybody. And, you know, this is, the movie's only been, it's only a couple years old, but it's streaming everywhere. Like, you have your chance to watch it, but I'm going to give you guys the chance right now. If you have not seen this movie and you do not want to know what is going to happen, do not listen to this podcast just yet. Put this thing on pause. Fire up your HBO Max or, you know, or Amazon Prime, and then just boom, watch it, enjoy it, and then come back and then see what I thought about it. How about that? Does that sound pretty good? I think that's good. But if you were okay with a spoiler-filled episode, hey, why don't you go, you know, just pop, you know, squat there and, just get buckle up there. So, like I said, this is going to be very spoiler heavy. I'm going to talk about my entire thoughts on the film and everything that kind of goes into it. All right. I think I jabbed on enough to give you guys enough time to pause it if you want to. So we're going to go ahead and jump on into the perch for Malignant here. So kicking off the list here, we got James Wan. That's right. The same James Wan who did Saw and The Conjuring and Aquaman. Yeah, that guy. James Wan has directed this film. And on top of that, James Wan also has some other writing credits in here, along with Ingrid Bisou and Akila Cooper. Now, the main cast for Malignant here, we have Annabelle Wallace as Madison Mitchell, Maddie Hasson as Sydney Lake, George Young as Keo Shaw, Mahol Brianna White as Regina Moss, and God, that name, for some reason, I want to say Michelle, and I know it's Mahol, and it's like, I don't know why my brain doesn't want to work on that. But then we have Louise Kelly as the Jane Doe. We have Susan Thompson as Janine, Jake Abel as Derek Mitchell, Jacqueline McKenzie as Dr. Florence Weaver, Christian Clemenson as Dr. Victor Fields, Ami Abul, oh my God, let's see if I get, let here, you guys are going to sit here with me on this one, Amir Abudella. Amir Abudella, yay, I did it, as Dr. Gregory. How are you going to give that guy, like, with this, like, crazy-ass name, the most generic name of all time? I don't understand. But then we also have Mercedes Cullen as Mendez, and Ingrid Bisou as the CST Winnie. So, yeah, that is our main cast. Now, as I was going through and trying to find a movie for tonight, I tend to do this thing where I watch just a little bit of a trailer, depending on, you know, what I'm looking for. Because most of the time I try to avoid trailers because, like, especially like movies nowadays, it's like whenever you watch a trailer, they give you so much information that it just ruins it. Or maybe like a production company or like a, you know, big budget company is going to try and do as much promotion for a certain movie as they can. And then by the end of all their promotions, you've basically seen all the good shit in the movie. And so for me, I'm not one of those guys where it's like, oh, you spoiled it for me in the whole movie. I'm not that guy. But at the same time, I want to see it with fresh eyes, with no just, I get, you know, just anybody else's opinion on it. It's like, I want to go into it with just mine. And then after I see it and I can put my own, you know, thoughts around what I just witnessed, then, you know, it's like I'll you know, flood out to Facebook and, you know, the internets and stuff like that, and just kind of see what other people are talking about, or maybe, you know, start chiming in on stuff. And that's actually kind of one of the reasons why we started this podcast, is so that I can, you know, spew out whatever is, you know, coming out of my brain. But one thing that I kind of kick myself for is another one of my favorite films is It. And when they did the, you know, It Chapter 1, when that was being released, I was geeking out. I wanted to find, I needed it so badly. And anytime something would pop up on the internet, it's like, it became a thing where I saw so many clips that by the time the movie came around, it was one of those where I was like, oh, okay, there's that clip. Okay, there's that clip. Oh, okay, there's that. Like, and I didn't get the opportunity to see it front to back as intended and not be spoiled by it, like, you know, by knowing. And then, so when Chapter 2 came around, a lot of that same kind of promotion was going on where they were showing off clip after clip. I think I maybe watched one, maybe two clips, and then that was it. Anytime like an It promotion came up or commercial, I automatically just flipped off of it because I did not want to feel like I was ruining it. So I tell you all that mess because once I got into this, like I was trying to figure out what to watch, and I'll watch a trailer or two just to see. The funny thing about this is that the trailer completely is different from what the movie actually is. And that really surprised me a lot. So when I see that, oh, this movie is done by James Wan, I'm well aware of what James has done. I am a big fan of what James has done. I love the art style. I love just the way that he can really, you know, portray a story. And most of the, like, again, yes, you could say, you know, like, you know, some stories are better than others. However, you know, it's like, especially in this day and age, he is probably one of the better storytellers for a lot of, like, you know, like newer directors and things like that. I mean, when I think back to like a lot of like the really, really good directors that don't really have too many misses. I mean, you got like, you know, Steven Spielberg, you got, you know, James Cameron. I mean, I would definitely, I would loop in James Wan. It's like, there's not too many movies where I would feel like he misses and things like that. I mean, again, I think it's more of whatever the topic is, but for the majority of the time, like, he's got some really good production behind him. So I was really happy about it. But knowing that, like, with things like, you know, Insidious or, you know, The Conjuring, I'm thinking that this movie is pretty much in that same world. And, like, you know, he's just kind of staying in his lane, and that's the type of movie we're going to get. I was completely wrong. So this movie is, we're following our lead, Madison. And she is very pregnant and she is about to pop, and she is just coming home from work, which is for, like, again, I dealt with Meg when she was pregnant. And I can tell you this much. It's like, pregnant women don't want to do nothing. And they damn well deserve to do nothing. Because, holy crap, that is a job in and on itself. So, again, if you're on the Prego side, you know, more power to you. Like, yikes. That is, that is a hard, hard job. So, Madison is very, very pregnant. And she comes home. And we're not given too much detail. I mean, and her house is absolutely gorgeous. Like, I would love to own a house like this. Like, it's just a very old, like, kind of just, I wouldn't say, like, that Victorian area, but it's, like, it's just that old, like, New England-style house. It's really good. But she comes home, and she's walking through the house, and then she ends up walking into her room where her husband is sitting on the bed watching his game. And she's just like, oh, well, I need to rest. Like, I had a really rough day. Like, I need some Advil, you know, all that stuff. And her husband just kind of just like, he rolls his eyes and he's like, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't be working. Meaning that, if I had to put my finger on it, it's like Madison is that type of person that just doesn't want to stop or feel like she's just got to keep her mind going to get it off of the stress of the baby. And in doing that, I feel like her husband is like, he's more concerned because she's going to overdo it and it could harm the baby and it could harm her. And you could just see where it's just a little bit of that frustration. Well, in that same frustration, Madison ends up having an argument with him. So she comes in, like I said, she goes straight to the bathroom and she's like, oh, I need some Advil. Like, I had a really rough day. You know, Bob's your uncle. And then out of nowhere, she just turns off the TV that he was watching. And he's like, hey, what are you, like, I was in the middle of that. And she's like, no, I need to rest. You need to get out. And just kicks him right out. And then that's when he decides to, like, he gets pissed. And he starts to tell her, like, oh, like, are you, like, oh, you can't, like, control me, like, all this other stuff. And then, like, she kind of gets in his face. And then he grabs her by the head and then throws her towards the wall, and her head smacks at the back of the wall and, like, leaves a really good-sized dent in the wall. And then she starts to bleed, and it's a really serious thing. And you could tell, like so the husband was just like, holy shit. Like, he's like, oh, I can't, I don't know what I did. I'm sorry. And, like, you could just see the panic. He's like, I'll go get some ice. And it's just kind of like he just snaps right back into that mode of, oh, no, I messed up. And then as he runs out the door, like, she gets up, runs over to the door and locks it. She wants nothing to do with him. Well, I guess it turns out that the husband, I believe his name is Derek. Yeah, Derek. And so Derek had a long history of abuse. So he was not too uncommon for him to put his hands on Madison. And I guess there was a certain point in their relationship where she was going to end it with him. And then she turned around and got pregnant. Well, with Madison getting pregnant, this is her third go-around. Madison has been trying to get pregnant for many years, and she just, you know, constantly just miscarries. And it's at the point where, like, she's wanting it so bad, and I think that's why she would, you know, go to work and you know, just try to just, you know, keep her mind off of the things, because I think she's just more worried that, you know, she could have, you know, another miscarriage, and it's just a crushing feeling. Like I've had, you know, miscarriages in my family, and again, it's one of those things where you never want to see that person go through something like that. And I could totally, you know, feel for Madison. So when you have a husband that she ends up, you know, she's having a baby with, but he's abusive, it's a really, let's see the wording here. So it's really, really, it's a tough little web to be in, because Madison is wants this baby because of her past, and she wants to feel something blood related. Like, she wants to know what it feels like to have something, or to be connected to somebody through blood. And that's why, you know, like, she's been wanting a baby more than anything in the world. So she will, you know, do, like, if it turns out where it's like she's got to have a baby with Derek, like, she'll fight through it. She'll be a trooper, and you know, just, but at the same time, it's like there's no way that she needs to do that. Well, lo and behold, she ends up locking herself in her room, and she locks out Derek. He's sleeping on the couch. Well, in the middle of the night, you hear the radio start to flicker, the TV's going nuts, all the lights are going, you know, berserk, and you kind of feel like something's going on. Well, Derek ends up waking up, and in the middle of the night, he hears the blender going off. So he's like, okay, well, why? Like, he again, he's just kind of waking up, but he walks in, he's like, Madison, like, what are you doing? He walks in, and nobody's there. But the blender's just on full blast with the lid off. And little parts of me, I'm like, okay, they're setting up table spots is what they're doing. Like, I mean, if you've ever watched wrestling, anytime they set up a table, somebody's going through the table. So, yeah, I was just like, okay, there's somebody's. I've watched Final Destination, you know, enough times to know that a blender on full blast with the lid off is, somebody's going in it. But he didn't. He turned it off. And then out of nowhere, from behind him, the fridge opens up. And he's, again, he just doesn't understand, like, what's going on. And so he goes, shuts the fridge. And then he hears, like, a noise. The TV goes off again. And he walks into the living room. And you could see the silhouette of somebody sitting on the couch watching TV. I don't know if he saw it or not, but the image, the clear silhouette is right there. Then the lights go out, and then they come back on, and the person's gone. But the crazy thing was, like, so as he's walking into the living room, you could see the couch, and you see the imprint of somebody that was sitting down get up. And this is where, for me, I was like, okay, I know what film we're in. Like, this is, it's all spooky, it's all demonic. Like, it's, okay, I got where we're going with this. But then, like, later on in the film, what turns out, was like, oh, no, we are way off. But, yeah, so he's walking around, and then out of nowhere, like, it's one of those shots where it's like, he walks by, nothing's there, and he turns back, and then boom, silhouette's right behind him, and it just stabs him right in the head. Well, like, we hear the ruckus from downstairs, and Madison wakes up, and she hears everything, and so she gets up to kind of go and see what's going on, and she's walking around asking for Derek, you know, because she wants to kind of know where he is, since he's been, you know, pretty abusive lately. And she walks into the room and sees him laying on the floor with his neck completely snapped. I mean, it looks like he's been in a car wreck. And I think the coroner, when she goes in and she inspects him, she's like, yeah, no, it looks like he's been in a car accident. Like, it's that bad. So she freaks out, and then, again, cops and paramedics and everybody is called. And, well, actually, before all of that happens, the silhouette figure shows up and attacks Madison and chases her up the stairs. And then, she shuts the door and she tries to, like, save herself. But then, like, the thing bursts through the door and sends her flying across the room. Well, it turns out, like, after the paramedics and everybody was called, she survives and she's okay. When she wakes up, your sister Sydney is in there with her, and her sister's trying to, like, hey, just focus on me. It's all going to be okay. And Madison's like, well, what happened to Derek? And she's like, well, Derek has died. Like, somebody broke into your house, like, and they, you know, ended up killing him, and they tried to hurt you. And then Madison reaches around and she feels her stomach, because she was expecting it to be a lot bigger and it wasn't. And she's like, where'd my baby go? Like, what'd they do to my baby? And in that, like, the midst of trying to save Madison, they were unable to save the baby. And so Madison just shuts down. Like, she just can't handle it. And it's really, really rough. And I mean, I think she basically goes comatose for, like, you know, just untalkative, just staring out the window, just not, like, for like 2 or 3 days. Like, I think it was one of those things where Sydney had to go to, you know, to see her every single day to try and get her to kind of work back in. And slowly through the movie, like, she starts to kind of get back to normal. So I don't know exactly how long the time lapse was between her losing the child to when she kind of went back to the house and everything else. But yeah, so she ended up losing the child. And then also, you know, the police were now investigating, because not only was Derek in this what was to be a indoor car wreck, but there are absolutely no fingerprints on him at all. So they were very, very puzzled as to what could do that much damage to, you know, one man and not leave any trace of any type of DNA or imprint whatsoever. So as we're going through the movie, and, you know, because we have our officers, it's a played by George Young, it's Kiana Shaw and Regina Moss. So Officer Shaw and Officer Moss. Moss is hilarious because she is just that sassy black woman. I mean, not like, you know, like Monique or any of that, but, like, you could tell, like, she is just not dealing with anybody's bullshit. Like, it's kind of refreshing, because I feel like a lot of times when you get into these type of movies, you get those detectives that are, like, both of them are, okay, like, they're on the same page, and they act the same way, and they have, like, the same kind of dialogue, and it's weird. But, like, so to have Shaw be that detective, and then to sit there and have Moss be the complete opposite of him, works really well, because she is also in that mode of, okay, we're going to figure this out, but I'm not, it's like, do you really expect me to believe this bullshit that's being spewed? Like, it's just funny. So when they're going through and they're trying to figure out, like, what's actually happening, they are just running into roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. Well, after, I think it's about a little bit through the movie, it's like there's a slow build where We're getting a lot of that radio interference. So like a voice is coming through the radio and then the lights are starting to flicker. There's one scene where Madison is, she's home all alone. She's trying to get find that groove again. And she, gets a shower. She's trying to get, calm. And then, like I said, all the electricity starts going nuts again. And she starts to, she freaks out. And she starts to shut all of her windows. And she locks all of her doors. And then she looks out one of the windows. And she sees the silhouette man standing out by the road just staring at her. And so she, loses it. Starts to, lock everything up. And then... it was a little bit later, so it starts to die down again. And that's another thing about this movie is it does come in waves and it feels right. There's sometimes where those movies, it's either there's too little action or there's way too much. It's just, this was a pretty good flow of, so it's it kind of kept you going. And James Wan knows what he's doing when it comes to stuff like that. So I felt like there was a really good flow in that aspect. So, but there's one part where we start to kind of really dive into what the movie is actually about. And Madison is doing laundry. And little part of me thought that, because James does this thing where he'll put the camera in a certain area and you think something's coming out of that spot that you can't see, and then nothing happens, and then it comes out of a different area. So Madison's sitting there and she's getting inside the dryer, throwing clothes in, and as she comes out of the dryer, there's a fucking woman staring at her, and she's like, oh my god, he's in the house. Scared the shit out of me. I was not expecting that face to just be and it's such a weird spot, but it's so perfect and campy that it works. But it turns out that this is the face of this doctor. Now, to kind of go back, it turns out that Madison was actually adopted. So her original or her real mother passed away when she was 15 years old. And her mom was raped, and then she ended up having the baby, and then after having the baby ended up dying. And then she was put up for adoption. Well, during this whole time that she was waiting to be adopted, Madison was going through this clinic, and because she was experiencing a lot of just abnormal and just crazy psychiatric problems and things like that. And it was getting to the point where she was thinking that there was this imaginary friend that was with her that would tell her things and tell her what to do and make her do bad things. He would be really, really nice, and he would, very sweet to her, but he would, manipulate her into doing bad things. And his name was Gabriel. And it turned around where she called him the devil, because Madison didn't want to do those bad things, but Gabriel would make her do these bad things. And it got to the point where these doctors were, just trying to diagnose her for, everything. And it got to the point where they are like, okay, well, we gotta, do some serious, we gotta get the cancer out, basically, is what they're saying. And I'll jump into that a little bit later. So she has been dealing with this imaginary friend. And after the family that I believe it was Janine was the mom, she was the one that adopted Madison. And this is when she was about 9 or 10 years old. And there is all these videos and things like that where, yeah, like there's one that it's like a, it's a pretty solid one, video where it's her birthday, and they're all singing happy birthday, and you know, she mentions to her mom that, oh yeah, it's like, I know you invited my entire class and no one showed up, and you guys tried to make it as, you know, the best it possibly could, you know, because everyone thought that I was just weird. And so they're in the video, they're singing happy birthday to her. And then after, you know, just before she goes to blow out the candles, she turns around and she's like, starts like, what, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, what do you, and the and mom's like, who are you talking to? And she's like, oh, nobody. No, like it's nobody. And she's like, wait, is it your imaginary friend again? She's like, yeah, it's Gabriel. And it basically, that was the whole thing. It was like, Gabriella was trying to tell her to do some negative shit, and it was just like she didn't want to she didn't want to be forced into doing things like that. So now, fast forward, a lot of the stuff that's happening, she's seeing a lot of this spooky supernatural stuff that's happening, and then out of nowhere, the face of that woman shows up. And then it's like one of the coolest transitions. It's like the room just starts to ripple and just fall apart. And she ends up going into like her room changes into the house of this doctor. And you see this silhouette man just walking over to her, and he's just throwing her around the room. And then, like, she's got, like, all these, like surgeon awards and everything else. And there's one that's, like, super sharp. And he just picks it up, and he just starts stabbing the ever-loving shit out of her. And then he breaks off the back end of it and steals the sharp point of it. What's really awesome is that this is Gabriel. If you know, you couldn't tell already. So Gabriel, what's awesome is that he took this like trophy, this nice metal trophy, takes it back to his lair, and then starts to sharpen it, and he turns it into this crazy ass knife, like it's a, or a, like kind of like a like not a like with a katana. The size, like what Raphael has, or like Melina from like Mortal Kombat. So he almost kind of turns it into one of those, which is it, but it's like heavy duty, it's like super sharp. Like this thing is like cutting through butter. Like it is, it's nice. It's pretty cool. So then Madison, like I was mentioning, she had that vision of Dr. Weaver getting completely annihilated. And then it was like a little bit later, like after it was, I think it was like a couple of nights after, she starts to, she's going back to sleep, and then turns around, and it was like her into the room starts to morph again. And she then gets the image of it's, Dr. Fields, and he's getting into bed. And then the images of, you know, Gabriel like sitting on top of him, and he's just stabbing him straight in the face, like just over and over and over and over again. So she flips out, and she's essentially in the room, and she cannot do anything. Like there's nobody that isn't going to interact with her. Like it's just, she's just, it's almost like it's just like this weird out of body experience. And it's like almost like that scene in like the Muppet Christmas Carol when Ebenezer Scrooge goes, you know, back into the past. It's like he can't like he could be there, but he can't actually interact with anybody from the past. It's kind of like that. But what's funny is like, so she flips out when she kind of comes back to her real world. And she ends up getting with Sydney, and they go straight to the detectives. And she's trying to explain like the whole situation to them. And this is where, you know, Moss is just kind of like, there's no way I'm believing this. Like, this sounds like a bunch of crazy bullshit. Like, it doesn't make sense. And so Shaw, he's just like, okay, well, let's get with a, you know, our psychiatric, you know, detective, and or, you know, just person, you know, to kind of go through it, and let's see if we could hypnotize you to see if we could dive a little bit deeper into what's going on. Well, as they do that, it turns out that that was kind of the bad idea, because they open up a whole mess of shit, and it ain't good for anybody. Like, again, all the lights and shit start going nuts, and it starts to just really open up something negative. And as they're going through, she is mentioning that there is another body. And when she tells them, like, I've sat and watched the murders right after they opened up a lot more shit with Gabriel. She tells them, like, oh, there's another dead body. And, you know, Moss is, again, doing the whole, like, oh, okay, great. Like, it's another story. But Sydney tells them, like, okay, if there's no body, then you could lock us up. And you could put her in a mental institution and you know, just throw away the key. So they finally are like, okay, let's go. So they end up going to the hotel that Sydney said. But she's like, okay, well, like, I don't know the exact room, but I know that it's on the top floor, and you could see the, you know, the sign or whatever that's on top of the building. And they go up and they're knocking on the doors, but there's one that's just slightly open. And so they draw their guns, and then they walk in, and Shaw's the first one in there, and yeah, he sees Fields laying in bed with a bunch of holes in his face. And so they're like, well, shit, like, she was telling the truth. And then as they were sitting there for it was the third time, she ends up having another vision. And it's Dr. Gregory. He's sitting in his bathtub, and Gabriel walks in and just completely just slashes them right the fuck up. And they do the same thing where they, Shaw figures out that it's all of the doctors that was taking care of Madison. And so he goes to the last guy's house, but then as he gets there, like, he gets there just as Gabriel is finishing the job, and at the same time Madison is having one of her visions, so she's watching everything that's happening to Officer Shaw and Gabriel, but at the same time it's like she literally just can't do anything. She's just sitting there just watching it, like if it's like the TV. And it's a really, really big fight scene. What's also really nutty nuts is that we also get to learn that Gabriel, he can parkour like it's nobody's business. So he's running out, just running all over the building, you know, just trying to get away from Shaw. And then he ends up jumping out a window down this fire escape thing. And I mean, he's like monkeying this thing. I mean, he's just like, even Shaw like looks down and he's like, holy shit, like there's no way that he can move that fast and survive. But yeah, and it's really funny that he could parkour and it's good to go. And I'll say why that's kind of weird as we get towards the end of the movie. So they have this giant chase scene through the city of Seattle, and it's just it got to the point where I was actually more interested to see like all the stuff that they were kind of coming in contact with, because it's like it was like because I know like Seattle is like it was built up, like, so they had like this older city that was underneath, and like the new city was built up on top. And so there, when Gabriel is running through, he's like breaking holes into these walls, and it's coming into like these little like huge rooms that's filled with like these old like 1920s cars, and it's just barrels, and it's just there's so much just old shit in there, and it's like it's one of those rooms where you could just smell what the room is like. You know, it's like, you know, when you walk into like a log cabin and you just get that rich mahogany type smell. It's like, or it's just that's just the way I felt. It's like, okay, you walk in there, it's just boom, just old. Like that's just how I felt that the room would smell. So Gabriel ends up getting away, and at this point in the film, now we got Detective, you know, Shaw, who is all on board with, you know, believing everything Madison has said. There's still not enough connective tissue for them to really understand what's going on, but just the fact where she goes, hey, there is a guy, he's been killing people, now Shaw has actually met that guy. So they, like, that's where he's on board. Now, towards the middle of the movie, we come to find out, so not only was Gabriel, you know, offing these, you know, doctors, it turns out that there is another woman who is our Jane Doe. She actually runs a lot of the tours for those old underground, like, the just all the history and stuff like that. Like, so it's like all those underground, like, little, like, you know, rooms and things like that, that was, you know, built up in Seattle. She does all the tours for them. Well, there's one night, like, she's finishing up her tour. Like, she's telling everyone thanks, you know, and have a good night. She goes back downstairs and she goes to, you know, get money out of her drawer. And as she's doing that, she, like, the lights down this, you know, corridor start to go off, and it's just like pitch black, and it's just like the atmosphere and just the tension that you're feeling. It's just so damn good, because it's like you're just waiting for something to pop out, and it turns around, it's like a little bit later, it's like Gabriel lunges out at her, and when he comes down, it's just like this crazy ass demon looking face. Like, you see it really quickly, but it's just like it's gnarly. So he runs to that, lunges at her, grabs her, and he ends up knocking her out, and then he takes her back, and he has like this old dank lair that he has, and then, like I was saying, he was sharpening his newly found trophy, but he has this woman tied up for some reason. And she's just there. He's got her, you know, tape over her mouth. And this is where I was more confused about what I was watching. And, like, I'm going to do a little bit of a twist now that we're getting kind of towards the end of the film here. So, as we get into the end of the film, so we have three doctors that have died, and we have one kidnapped lady. And then we have Sydney and Madison with the two detectives that are trying to figure out what the hell is going on. So Sydney finds out that, you know, Madison used to be, like, before she was adopted, she was being taken care of at this hospital. So it turns out that hospital was very, very old and not in, you know, working status at all anymore. So she goes to the old hospital and decides that she's going to go and try and find the records to see if she could see, like, what the hell, you know, was going on with Madison. Well, it turns out she found everything. Like, everything that we've been, like, we're curious about was in this goddamn box. So, I mean, there's like, and it warmed my heart too, because, like, she found like a bunch of VHS tapes, and the fact that they were able to play them, and like they had the device to play it, was like, I was like, okay, I'm happy about that. Cause normally it's like, there was a couple of them where they had some like information, but they were like on like thumb drives, and I was just like, oh, okay, that I was like, that's, I don't know, it didn't seem as nice to me. It's like I want that old feel. If it's gonna be something old, give me the old feel. And so they did that with the VHS tapes. But so on these tapes, it showed that there was this girl who was about 15 years old, and it turned around where that was Madison's mom, original mom. So Sydney and her stepmom are sitting down watching these videos, trying to find out any information they possibly can to help, help the situation out. So it turns out that as they're watching it, they're watching this 15-year-old girl, and they're saying like, oh, like, are you okay? Like, do you need to call your mother? Like, what's going on? Like, and the girl says, no, I don't want to talk to my mom because she's just going to think I'm an abomination towards God. And it turns out, like, this is Madison's mom. But they were saying like, oh, okay, well, now that you've had the baby, you're free to go. So Madison's stepmom starts to flip out because she's like, I've been told that woman's been dead since she was 15, like, and she survived? And they were just like kind of dumbfounded and kind of just pissed off a little bit by just that knowledge that, oh, her mom actually survived. And then it turned around where they were showing videos of Madison as a child, and she's just got that like crazed look in her eyes where she's just, I don't know if it's just like she's just being drugged up or whatever, but it's just that mental hospital kind of just attitude where it's just, she's batshit crazy. And there's like, you just, you know, you can't really put a finger on like why. But then, oh boy, oh, then they show you why. So she's sitting there talking about Gabriel. And she's saying that Gabriel is the devil. Gabriel tells her what to do. And again, you'd go in that typical, like, okay, it's the crazy person being told, you know, by voices and things like that. You know, that typical song and dance. So she's talking about how, you know, Gabriel says that, you know, he's her friend and she tries to be nice to him. And she, you know, and he talks to her and tells her to do things. And then the fucking camera pans around to the side of her. And it turns out that Gabriel is her brother. And he is this parasitic embryo that is attached to the back of her melon. And you could just see this like deformed face just wailing and just freaking out, and then it's got these two arms that's just moving around. I can't tell you, I flipped my shit when I saw that. I popped so loud. I was like, thank God I was watching this by myself, because I lost my shit. I was not ready for that thing to happen. I was not expecting it whatsoever, and just to see this creature on the back of her head, and it looks so good. Like, I mean, as far as like just for just that, because you could see like on its back, it was like mixed with her spinal cord and its rib cage, and then it went up into like, so it started to develop a body, but it was just like I said, on the back of her head, almost like it was like if Voldemort from the Sorcerer's Stone, it kind of had a chance to continue to grow. It would just escalate and just, it was just fucking weird. But, so it turned out that both Gabriel and Madison, or I believe her name is Ivy, at the time, but Madison, I'm just going to put her by her new name. But so they both shared a brain. So that's why Gabriel could talk to her. He couldn't, like, physically talk, but he could have all of these, you know, in-depth thoughts and just negative thoughts and just and tell her to do things because it was all through his own mind. And that was such a cool fucking idea. And so these doctors, they were trying to deal with, like, because no one's ever had this situation happen. So these three doctors are trying to work out, like, what's going on. And with this little girl, you know, saying, like, oh, my brother is telling me what to do, and it's making me do bad things or do, like, negative, like, you know, lighting fires and, you know, just, you know, punching people. Like, he's making her do stuff because that's him. Like, he can control her body, and, you know, to a degree. And the doctor, Dr. Weaver, she's the surgeon that handles the situation, but she basically says, okay, there's no way that we can, you know, solve this, but the only way that we can take care of business is to go ahead and surgically remove Gabriel. And, like, that'll be the way to, I guess, you know, lo and behold, like, save Madison. And so they have this whole scene where they're showing them, like, you know, killing, oh, not killing, but, like, numbing, I guess, Gabriel to the point where they can literally cut him off the back of her. And then they try to heal up the, you know, the wound and everything else. And they want it to be a thing where they kind of rehabilitate her to the point where at some points she actually doesn't even remember, like, what initially happened. She never realized or remembered that she had something that was attached to her back. But the crazy thing was, is that because both Madison and Gabriel shared a brain, after they cut Gabriel off, they had to break open the back of Madison's skull, and then they essentially pushed in the brain and then sealed it back up, like, with the, you know, the back piece of the skull, so that it would form, you know, the back of her head as normal. But yeah, the crazy thing was, is that, like, that's still Gabriel's brain, and they basically put it into one person. And that was the thing that was so goddamn good. At least for me, it's just because it was. I'm gonna jump into this. So when this movie started, when I watched the trailer, and I'm like, okay, it's a supernatural, you know, ghost devil movie. Like, it's one of those type of movies, right? And what it turned out to be was the complete opposite. There wasn't anything supernatural. It wasn't demonic. It was something, it was actual body horror, and it was grotesque, and it was more psychological than anything. And this whole premise of her brother is the one that is controlling her. Gabriel is doing all of this murdering using Madison's body. She basically will black out. He takes over her body, and then he goes and does the killing. And when she does the whole, like, when the room changes and, you know, she could see all the, you know, the killings and things like that, and she's doing that out-of-body experience, that's why, is because she is there doing all the killings. But she just has absolutely no control over her body. And for years, like, she's been able to kind of control it. After she got adopted, there was a part that was, like, shortly after she got out of the hospital, or out of the asylum, I should say, is where she would still, you know, talk to Gabriel. But no one actually could understand that, oh, like, no, he's still in her head. So she's just been dealing with Gabriel talking to her, and like she just can't get away from it because he's literally in her head. And you know, it's like over time, Gabriel just faded out of the picture, and Madison at the same time, she just it was kind of like out of sight, out of mind, or you know, that kind of thing. Like she just grew out of it, and it never bothered her after a while. So the crazy thing about this, and again, I never put two and two together until after the big reveal happened, which is like I fucking popped really, really big. But so when Derek slammed Madison into the wall and the back of her head was bleeding, so she constantly, like, so she would lay down on a pillow or something like that, and it was like her head would just always be bleeding. It would never, it would just not stop bleeding. And a little part of me was like, you know, you probably should go get that looked at. But she kept touching it and she kept feeling it, and then that, you know, that would be it. She would look at her pillow, just be covered in blood, all that good shit, right? Well, wasn't until after she ends up getting put into the jail cell, and she has been she's a suspect in all these murders and stuff like that, because it's like, okay, both the detectives are like, all right, well, we got all these, you know, doctors are dropping, or like even like the stuff with like her husband. It's like, okay, well, the husband, you know, died in this house. There's no forced entry. So she's witness number one. And so they throw her into this, you know, holding cell. And while she's in there, she gets hassled by a bunch of the inmates that are in there. And they, after a little bit, they end up, you know, it escalates and they just start to beat the shit out of her. Well, she, it almost looks like she has like a seizure. And her eyes like roll back into her head and she starts to like freak out. And then she starts to scream and she starts grabbing the back of her head. And she, I'm not even joking, this is like, this tripped me out so bad. But she grabs the back of her head and it's like she rips the skin straight, and like just this face comes straight through, and it's Gabriel's like mangled sloth looking, just, oh my God, it looks so gnarly. But this face comes through and all these inmates are just staring. They're just like freaking out. And then out of nowhere, like the body starts to contort. So Gabriel is controlling the body, but it's backwards. Like everything is backwards. It's like, so he's doing everything. Like, so the feet are facing the opposite way, but he's still, like, he's still moving as like he's in the fucking Matrix or some shit like that. It's really, really bizarre. But like, so everyone that's in this jail cell, like, is gonna be fucking dead. Like, it's, he starts to go through and he's just breaking arms and legs and just snapping necks, and it's gnarly. And one of the inmates is like screaming for the guards, and the guards show up, and then you know, Gabriel goes in, grabs the guard, rips him through, breaks his arms like through the bars, steals his keys, and then gets like, he is like the, like I said, it almost feels like you're watching like a Matrix movie, like, because it's just the, it's that whole premise of like, okay, we're in a jail cell, now I'm going to get out. Now I'm going to get out of the police station. And then it's like, but it's just like, it's such an action packed sequence that it doesn't feel right. And then on top of that, it's that you get a guy who's literally doing everything with a backwards body. And he's just like owning the shit out of all this entire police station. Like, it's like no one's safe. He goes to the criminal, like the locker, the evidence locker room, and he ends up getting his trophy back with his, you know, big jacket and things like that. That is like his signature. And he goes through, and like when he gets that, he's got his blade, and he is just ripping through all of these cops. And it's very, it almost feels like it's too easy. Like, they're shooting, but they're not hitting him for shit. And it's a really, really cool sequence. If you have not watched this yet and you want to see this part, I highly recommend watching the full movie just so you can get the whole scope of it. But they do have on YouTube, it's the clip of the police station fight scene. So it's there if you want to see it. But it's really, really cool. I love the action in it. I didn't mind it. I just thought it was just fucking crazy having Backwards Man just do all that kung fu, all that, you know, gnarly shit. It was really cool. So now we're running into the end of our film. And our Detective Shaw, after he gets knocked the fuck out with a big-ass chair, and Moss, she gets her stomach split by Gabriel. And so they're all freaking out, and they're like, okay, well, what, we got to stop him. Like, I know exactly where he's going. It turns out that the Jane Doe was Madison's original mom. She, again, survived, and she ended up, she was that lady that was running that tour down on, you know, underground Seattle. And so that was the thing, is like, I guess like Gabriel knew and figured it out, and that's where he went and stole her, because he was so mad at his mom for, you know, basically giving him up to these doctors that mutilated him. And so the Jane Doe, she is actually in the hospital. Like, when they first found her, she actually fell through the roof of Madison's house. And that's actually why they put her in the jail cell, is because they just had a random person that just came through. And then, you know, in that attic is like all that, you know, all of Gabriel's, you know, hideout shit. So Jane Doe was in the hospital, and Gabriel, the newly shown Gabriel, is now on the hunt to go and just absolutely annihilate. So Sydney goes there because she wants to try and talk to Jane Doe about, you know, any and everything, just so that she could try to figure out more of, you know, the problem. Well, then it turns out that Gabriel shows up, and like, there's a really cool part where, like, as he still likes to, like, it's his, like, aura still will, like, it's got that, like, that supernatural vibe where it can still mess with the electric, you know, electricity in the air and things like that. There's a guy, he's one of the security guards. He walks up to Sydney and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, like, you can't be here. Like, we're not allowed to, you know, have anybody up on this floor. And she tries to say, oh, like, you know, I've been working with, you know, Detective Shaw, you can call him. And the guy, like, in the middle of talking, just kind of was like, and he grabs his chest, and he's like, I feel like my heart's, like, you know, like, skipping a beat. Like, he's like, my pacemaker, it's burning. Like, it's just, he's really struggling, kind of like I'm talking right now. So he's really struggling. And then out of nowhere, the lights flicker, like almost like they like overpulse. And then out of nowhere, his chest bursts, and it's just like his pacemaker just explodes. And it's just like, because Gabriel's standing right behind Sydney, and it's fucking just absolutely creepy. So he throws Sydney in there, and what's crazy is that Gabriel is doing all of this because he's trying to get back at everybody for everything that they did, obviously, you know, for obvious reasons. Like, so he goes after the doctors because they mutilated him off of Madison's body. He's going after the Jane Doe because that's his mom who gave him up. He's going after Sydney because he doesn't feel like she deserves Madison, because she's not the true bloodline. And then the same thing with like where he would constantly tell Madison to do things to the step parents because they're not her real parents. And then he was the reason why Madison was having the miscarriages. And like he would manipulate Madison's body to the point where she would miscarry. And that was like, I was so blown away by that. Cause he didn't want her to feel any type of happiness or to feel like she could have, you know, what, like, again, he was trying to be the only one, like, because he couldn't have the body, he wanted to make her miserable. And so having, like, you know, every time like she would have a body, it's like he would understand, like, you know, through his mind, like she was trying to bring another life in and he wasn't gonna have any of that. So that was fucking crazy to think about. As especially like for that kind of character where it's all in her mind and it's just, I don't know. So they get into the hospital. Sydney is trying to talk to Gabriel and bring back Madison because it's one of those things where it's like, oh, I know you can hear me, you know, come back. You're stronger than, like, it's one of those typical situations. Well, it turns out that that is the way that Madison ends up stopping Gabriel. She goes into her mind and she tells Gabriel, she's like, you're not the only one that can, you know, control another person's mind. It's like, you want to jump into mine? Well, I can jump into yours too. And so she basically retakes control over the whole, her entire mindset. And she develops a figurative jail inside her brain and throws Gabriel in. She locks him away and to never be seen again. And Gabriel is freaking out, saying, like, you need me, like, you, like, I'll get out someplace. And it feels very, like daytime TV villain, just like, I'll get you again. Like, it's just, like, I almost feel like if they would have taken the mask off, it's like Scooby-Doo would have been there, but like, yep, there it is. But yeah, like, it was very weird just to be like, okay, nope, that's the way that we're going to end it, by her locking away Gabriel in her mind. And then she kind of just comes back. But another crazy thing was like after she locks him away and she wins and she gets her body back, the gaping wound in the back of her head heals up perfectly and Gabriel is gone. And then she comes back and she's, she ends up saving, you know, Sydney. The Jane Doe is like, Gabriel was able to kill her. And so that's kind of the end of that chapter. But yeah, like that was the whole thing of, it's like, it's all, you know, like Gabriel's dead and gone and it's like, he's locked away, never to be seen again. So I'm curious to see if there ends up being like one of those movies that's like, oh, we got, you know, a part two to this thing. It's like, because to be honest, I was like, Gabriel was pretty bitching. Like, I was digging him quite a bit. So I mean, that's pretty much the end and the end all be all for this movie. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty good. But I think I'll give my skull rating on this bad boy. Now, as I mentioned, at the beginning of this movie, I thought it was like a spiritual demon type movie. And by the end of this movie, it was something completely different. It became a slasher serial killer movie. And then it turned into this, like, weird psychological just mind fuck. And there was so much going on that it was one of those, like, at first I felt that I was just like, I didn't know if I was liking it because it was like, all right, it's this thing. Oh, no, wait, now it's this thing. Oh, wait, now it's this thing? Like, what are you, like, I couldn't tell whether or not they knew what they were doing, but I honestly think James Wan and them knew exactly what they were doing. Just having little things like when she smacks her head on the wall at the beginning of the movie and then you just see the blood, they're out there. It's one of those, like, you never think that there's going to be a face coming out of that the back of her melon at the end of the movie. You never think of that. And that was refreshing. To sit there and go, I have no clue what is going to happen next. There's certain times where, like, for instance, like the Jane Doe, you kind of had an idea of who that person was, but that wasn't until you found out, like, a little bit more information, like, down the road. Like, I think through the most of the movie, every time they showed the Jane Doe, like, all tied up, I was like, who the fuck is this person? Like, there's times where I was like, is that Madison? Like, I could not tell. I was like, I was getting a little frustrated because I just couldn't, you know, put my finger on it. And like I said, that was something that was a little refreshing because most movies nowadays, you can sit there and go, okay, I know exactly what you can afford foreshadow pretty good, right? It's pretty rare when you could sit there and watch a movie and go, I have no idea what the fuck's going to happen. This movie, like I said, there was so much going on that you're just kind of like, up, all right, fine, fuck it, I'll hang in here with you. Like, you do you, boo-boo. Like, that's, like, oh, let's just go on this ride. But, and that's the word for it. It's like, it is a ride. It is, and it's nice. Like, for me, I don't think I've watched a movie lately where it's been just refreshing, I guess would be the word. It's just one of those, like, to sit through a movie and enjoy it and actually be intrigued with it, because it's like as you start to understand, like, what's going on, and then when you finally get the final crescendo, you're like, holy shit, like, this is, like, I was in. Like, for me, like, that's my kind of movie. So I was digging it. I'm going to end up giving this one a 3.5. I think that I would have liked to see more of Gabriel's face. There's, like, you can actually go online and see they have statues of Gabriel. And when you look at the 3D renderings of him, like, they look so good. And I wish I could have seen more of that in the film, because there's a couple scenes. I mean, he's on the back of her head, so the hair is coming down over his face, like, you know, pretty much throughout the majority of the movie. But it's just like, I want to see more of the face, and a lot of it just felt like it was like mashed up pizza. Like, it just didn't, I don't know. There's some scenes where it was like too dark or it was just too much movement around. I want to see just that grotesque. I need to see more. But yeah, I'm going to give it a 3.5. I was really, really digging the story. Just having that, just the idea of like it being one type of movie and then it just moving into another movie and it's still working, I thought it was cool. There is campiness to it, which is also nice, because a lot of movies, you know, nowadays it's like they can overdo the campy or it's not enough, you know, for that type of movie. And this, it worked. Like, I thought there was just enough, and James Wan, like, he does campy really good. So I was in for it. And I'm actually kind of glad that it wasn't another like Conjuring, you know, type movie. And I guess there's a couple of tweets that James Wan posted out telling his fans, like, hey, this is not a Conjuring movie, so don't go into it thinking it's, you know, it is that. So, but yeah, I mean, I really dig it. I'm interested to see if they do a second one. I don't know if they probably will or not, but it'll be cool to see, like, what they end up, if, you know, yeah, kind of work on it. But yeah, so that is my review today. So, thank you guys for dealing with me rambling on, trying to get back into that groove after after my little vacay. I hope you guys enjoyed that one. Again, anytime you guys want to reach me, just throw me a review, suggestion, anything like that. Always go to my email at creepinitreal.cm@gmail.com, or go to my Instagram or Facebooks at creepinitreal, if I could talk. Hit me up anytime. I like jibber jabbering. I'll slack jaw with anybody. So yeah, just let me know. And also, if you guys go to my Instagram, go to my the link in my bio, send you over to our Redbubble page. You could buy yourself some sweet ass merch. That's right. All the merch is done by me. So again, if you guys buy anything, that helps support the channel. Send me over a little message saying, hey, look what I bought. And I'll give you a little shout out. So, thank you guys for hanging in there with me. I'm pretty happy with this one. And, I'm looking forward to next week. So, hope you guys have a good one. And I'll see you next time around. Because, you know, that dog will hunt.